Well, let me, I think we're mostly in here. Let me start us off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you, and we are so excited. Thank you for what you have done as we come to this point in River Valley's history, another major milestone, and it's exciting. And we just want to make sure this morning, Father, that you receive all the glory, that you receive all the praise. And no matter what we have done today and over the last 18 years, Father, it is because you have allowed it, because you have blessed it, and to you be the glory. We thank you for that. Just bless our time this morning as we review the neat things that you have done over the last 18 years, and just thank you for blessing us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Friday night, we got to come over here and just kind of go through music and all sorts of stuff and just tried to get things set up, the soundboard going, and it was fun to be here, fun to be a part of getting everything going, fun to be a part of what is happening today. And as we were kind of wrapping up our night, I got a text from John, and we were texting back and forth a little bit, and we're excited about this. We had a great night of just music practice, and I'm just walking through the church and seeing all these things, and John ended the text and just talked about a legacy, and so I started looking at that word legacy, and what is it? What does it mean? And a legacy is really just something handed down, just something passed on. And when you look at the dictionary, legacy is, it can be money, it can be possessions, it can be property. It's just something handed down to the next generation. And often I think we use the word legacy, and I think appropriately so, we use it in terms of what did we do to impact history? When we are no longer here, or even while we're here, what have we done to impact history? What will we be known for? And that's an exciting thought. That's a really big thought, though. What will we be known for? What will River Valley Bible Church be known for? And as I have the opportunity to be the first one that gets to teach here, and there was some arm wrestling for this moment. I didn't get this opportunity easy. I think Mark was, we've been fighting for this ever since the dirt was getting moved. Who was going to be, because we knew Craig was getting to preach the first service, so that wasn't an option. But some of the Sunday school teachers, we started talking about who got to be there, and I pulled the founding pastor card, and that trumped everybody, and so I have the privilege of being able to be here for the very first Sunday school in this new building. And as Craig was talking about what he was going to be preaching on, and we tried to coordinate a little bit so that we didn't overlap, he asked and said, what if you were to just kind of give a history of River Valley Bible Church? And so I've been working on that. I think it was the next day or two, I sat there and just penciled down all these neat things that have happened. But yesterday morning, I started pondering it even more and thinking about this idea of a legacy. And the more I wrote things down, the more I realized the amount of people that have shaped and influenced and somehow impacted what we're doing right here today. And it's been neat. And I called Ron Thompson just to try. And Ron Thompson was my mentor pastor when I did my internship, and just started talking and looking at dates and stuff like that, and just realized that God has been working, or worked might be a better way to word it. He has worked this day out before creation. This day isn't an accident. This day isn't a surprise. God already knew. And we just get to live it now. But it's not a surprise to him. And so I got three passages that I want us to kind of look at this morning. The first one in Romans. Romans chapter 8. And all of these verses that I'm looking at this morning are very, very common, very popular verses, verses that we use on a regular basis. But chapter 8 in Romans, and then verse 29 and 30, it reads, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." God predestined this day. God knew this day was going to happen, knows this day is happening. And as I began to ponder that, I realized how big and how many people have shaped today. And I go back almost 70 years that I have met people and talked to people that shaped why we are and what we're doing right now. So I'm going to throw out a whole bunch of names really fast here. And some of the names I'll mention in more detail later on. But all of these people that I'm going to quickly mention have somehow, in some way, before River Valley actually got started. So these are all people that have had something to do with River Valley before February 2000. Dick Mannion, Ron and Wanda Thompson, John Miles, Tim and Joy Miles, Nelson Miles, Bill and Gloria Bagley, Dominic Ganino, Gerald and Marlene Neufeld, Mark and Barb Smothers, Derek and June Smothers, Christy Thompson, Bob and Joan Mason, Brad and Cindy Reisinger, Don and Jaquita Byers, Randy and Levita Byers, Darren DeVoe, John and Brooke Larson, Mark Moriarty, Craig and Janine Jansen, and I could go on and on with all of these names. Some of those names you'll recognize, some of those names you won't, but all of these people, and again, you always hate to start putting names out there because once you start that, you always miss somebody. But all of those people were people that I had started having conversations with or people that I met before February 2000. And it's just kind of neat. Dick Mannion was a church planter in Idaho, and he started planting a church in 1960. He went back to Michigan and was speaking at a church in Michigan where a young boy at the age of 12 realized that he was going to be a church planter in Utah one day. And that person was Ron Thompson. Ron Thompson, at age 12, knew that one day he would come back to Utah to plant a church. And there's a whole long history there with how Ron is connected. But then Ron Thompson had a best friend who also pastored a church in Michigan. But that guy would come out to Utah once Ron's church was started, and he would do these special meetings. And his name is Tim Miles. And Tim would come out to Michigan, or come out to Utah from Michigan, and he would do these special meetings at Ron's church in Utah. Well, that gave Tim a burden and a desire, and in the 80s, Tim ended up in St. George, Utah, to plant a church. Tim had a brother, Nelson Miles. Nelson Miles ended up in California, and there was the youth pastor or youth leader, and he influenced a couple of people's lives, my brother-in-law specifically. And when Nelson got called out to Frontier School of the Bible to be the president, he then was able to see my brother Derek, my brother-in-law Derek, go out to Wyoming. I met Derek his last semester at Bible school. And we've talked about this before, but I am pretty sure that if I didn't have a direct conversation with Christy, I probably was introduced to her in 1996 is when Derek graduated Bible school. Christy, Mark, and Barb were at Frontier School of the Bible at Derek's graduation. 7 years later, Derek would then put it together with introducing me to his sister officially. But that's a little ways down the road. But so there's this crazy little puzzle of these pieces that start getting put together. with different pastors that were here in the area, and they decided that they wanted to put together a camp. One of the pastors is Dominic Ganino. He planted a church in Richfield Bible Church, and while all that was happening, a family, the Larsons, were getting saved and finding Richfield Bible Church, and from there ending up at Cedar Mountain Retreat. The 90s, the Reisingers were deciding that they needed to be in Mesquite. And I think the theme that we have found is most of us have said something like, over my dead body is how I'll end up in Mesquite. And yet here we all are, and we love it. But Brad and Cindy were starting a business in Mesquite. And because God put them in Mesquite, put the Larsons in Richfield Bible Church, and the pastors of the Bible churches started a camp up there. We have John and Brooke Larson, and Parker, and Ryan, and Dylan. And so we see this puzzle, all these little pieces of coming together. When John and Brooke took off to Bible school, they ended up overlapping with Pastor Craig for one semester at Frontier. Again, all of these pieces, we didn't realize that we were all going to end up here at this day. I met Derek at Bible school. He went off to plant a church. I got influenced and on board with Tent Makers Bible Church, and I ended up through Pastor Tim, who's the church planter or pastor at St. George at Southland Bible Church. He had a daughter who ended up at Bible school. And one Thanksgiving, I got invited to come out to St. George to spend Thanksgiving there. It was my last semester. And because I was in St. George there, I met Ron Thompson. And I've met Ron before, but I actually officially met him. And on that trip to St. George, where I was hanging out with the Miles family, we coordinated my internship with Ron Thompson at now Mountain View Bible Church in Leverkin. All these little pieces coming together, people in the right place, similar timeline, maybe a few years before that. Quite a few years before that, Pastor Craig's brother was praying for them, that they would come to know the Lord. And through that ministry there in St. George, well, God's working in my life and putting pieces together over here. He already knew that Pastor Craig was going to come and pastor River Valley Bible Church in 2007. And so people were praying for him, and they were putting all of these pieces together. And as Darren prayed for Craig and his family, and they came to know the Lord, and they began to grow under the ministry at Southland Bible Church in St. George, and they grew. Craig and I and Janine family, we would have visited at family camp years before they even went to Bible school. And then at Bible school, I remember we would pass each other, occasionally talk while they were in Wyoming. But again, the pieces were not connecting in our eyes, but God already knew as Craig and I would visit and just, hey, how's things going out in southern Utah and Nevada? He was already putting pieces together and shaping all of these little details. Bob and Joan Mason, somehow God called them to Mesquite. And I don't know much of your story before you get to Mesquite, but at the same time, Don and Jaquita Byers, and not related, Randy and Levita Byers, were all in Mesquite. And somehow, again, not somehow, God connected the pieces. Some were going up to St. George to go to Bible church. Some were here in town, but they were all wanting and praying for a little independent Bible teaching church in Mesquite. And so as they're praying for all of this, and I'm now in Leverkin doing my internship, I still wasn't looking at Mesquite as a place where I would ever live or plant a church. As I was talking to Ron yesterday, he was like, Dave, we had you set up for Panguitch. While I was doing my internship there, we were starting a group of pastors. We were starting a little Bible church up in Panguitch. They didn't have a little one there. And we were getting all the pieces together, and I really wasn't focused on Panguitch yet, but Ron was really praying that I would end up there. And it was, the pieces were coming together. It looked like I would end up at Panguitch. And that's the kind of place I could see myself living. There's a lake up there. The temperatures don't get quite so hot. It culturally is a little bit more of what I envisioned me growing up in. I never wore shorts, ever, except playing like soccer in Bible college, I think was when I first started wearing shorts. You wear jeans. You only wear jeans. And shorts are for athletes, and that's it. Until I moved to, well, I think I started finally wearing shorts once in a while in southern Utah in my internship, but I had good white legs, the way God designed them. But all of these little pieces, you know, God's working, and we're predestined. And so as all of these pieces are coming together to shape the beginning of River Valley Bible Church, it's neat. From Canada, where I was growing up, to California, to the Midwest, southern Utah, and we could even go back to New York with Pastor Craig's family there. God was pulling all of these pieces together and bringing everybody to land here in Mesquite. Different times, different ways, different stories. But God knew that we would have a little Bible church in Mesquite. And so when we look at Romans, we can see that God foreknew, God predestined, and today was designed by God. And to him be the glory for that. When Craig asked me to do this and I started going through this, I ended up in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is a great chapter. It's our faith chapter. But it's also a great chapter if you want to quickly learn the history of the nation of Israel. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. I'm not going to go through the whole history of Abraham. But as I read these few verses here, I realized that I have a little bit of a kindred spirit with Abraham. So listen to these verses. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going into a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs to the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." So as I was reading through those verses, I'm like, Abraham and I have a few similarities. I think the big one is an alien living in a foreign land. When I first came down here, again, it was by faith that I ended up here, because it was not in my plans at all to live in Mesquite. We had driven through, we had kind of driven around a little bit, but it wasn't until, I don't know if Joan, you talked to Pastor Tim or who talked to Tim exactly, that Tim called me up, Pastor Tim called me up and said, "Hey Dave, there are a group of believers in Mesquite, and there isn't an independent Bible teaching church in Mesquite, and we think that maybe you could start with a core group of people because they're already there." And so I'm like, well, you know, I'll meet with them. But I drove down here and had lunch with a group of ladies at the Mesquite Star. Were you at that meeting, Joan? So that's the only time Joan's missed anything with River Valley. So it must have been Jaquita and Levita. Jaquita and Levita Byers, not related. And I met with them and had lunch, and they talked about this idea of someone coming and starting a church here in Mesquite. And I began to drive around Mesquite, and I had a really good friend up in Utah, a Bible school friend that was kind of hanging out with me. And I brought him down here, and we drove around Mesquite, and it was absolutely 100% God, because as I started driving around Mesquite, all of a sudden I went, you know, I'm kind of liking this place. And remember, this is like 1999 Mesquite. And I started falling in love with Mesquite, and I went, you know what, I think maybe we could do this. And so I started putting together flyers. I started advertising. We put it in the newspaper that there was going to be this Bible study in Mesquite. And it was just an investigation. We just want to see if there's people interested in a little Bible church here. And so October, November of 99, we did a little Bible study. And it was just a, what does the Bible say about? And we did, what does the Bible say about the Bible? What does the Bible say about Jesus? What does the Bible say about his church? And we just went through and did a 4 or 5 week Bible study. The first one was at the Panda Garden, the previous Panda Garden. I never did, I think I only went to the Panda Garden one other time in 18 years of being in Mesquite, because they kicked us out that night. And I've always felt like just they never did us right. Because we were doing a Bible study. And we went in there. I had it reserved. I had the room set up. I had everything ready to go. Here I am, excited. Everything's falling in place. And we get there, and they gave the room to another group. And when we sat down to do our Bible study, they said, well, if you're not going to be ordering food, you can't stay. And I said, well, we're going to order desserts. And they said, well, you can't stay. And so I paid for my coffee, and we left, and we ended up at Tom and Danae Brooks' house. And we did our first Bible study there. And then from there, we pretty much ended up at Bob and Joan's home. And we did our Bible studies there. And then in the 2000, we started our Bible studies back up. And I believe it was Bob, the beginning of February, looked at me and said, if we're doing these on Wednesday night, why can't we be doing these on Sunday morning? And it was pretty much from there we put it in high gear and said, we can. And that's where Brad and Cindy come in. I drove all over town looking for a place to have a first service. And we tried and we looked for places and couldn't find anything. And Cindy had this huge open area in the back of her office above Bank of Nevada. And she's like, well, use that. And it wasn't 3 weeks, 4 weeks of using that, and she pretty much had us run out. She filled her office with realtors, and it just our spot got smaller and smaller. We moved across the hallway in the conference room. But it was neat because we were growing. And it was just neat to see how that worked out. And by the fall of 2001, no, by the fall of 2000, we were already renting a space in the Mesquite Plaza. Just kitty corner from Las Lupes, and we started in 700 square feet, and that 700 square foot was a bathroom, an office / nursery / junior church / storage / whatever we could cram in that room, and a sanctuary. And so we had a bunch of metal folding chairs. We could probably seat about 25 people, And that's when I think it was a couple of people came up to me and said, Dave, these chairs are too hard. We need softer chairs. And for those of you that are sitting in those metal chairs back there, some of those are the original chairs that we had with we started River Valley. And some of the ladies were making cushions to bring to church. And they said, we need some softer chairs. And I said, well, if you want to buy a softer chair, you're welcome to it, but we don't have the money to buy nice soft chairs. And so everybody said, well, what if we all throw in $50 and we'll all buy a chair? And that was our first chair. Some of these chairs that are mixed in the bunch here, I think we've had 3 purchases since then of chairs. Just keep adding, and they keep finding close to the same color for us. But these chairs here were used in our very first building there. And we had a one-year lease with the Mesquite Plaza. And from there, we ended up, Lyle Hughes built the plaza where we're at there. And we moved into that. We just kept growing. What were we counting the other day? Who was counting with me? How many different configurations we used at the Heritage Plaza? And I think we counted at least six different ways we configured that building so that we could make it work. And we started off with just the sanctuary. And the sanctuary that was there had 2 classrooms and an office tucked in the corner, plus those 2 bathrooms in the back. And then we outgrew that spot, so then where the lobby, nursery, office area is. We ended up renting that spot and punching a hole through the wall there to put a door in. And we moved the sanctuary over there. And we were facing one wall, and then we faced another wall. And eventually we outgrew that, and so they knocked out the walls where the sanctuary is for those classrooms and moved back over onto that side. And just as we grew, God continued to provide. And before we ended at Heritage Plaza, we were renting 4 units. Did we ever rent 5? So we had 4 units there and probably could have used 5 or 6 units as we continued to grow. And it was just neat how God provided. And so looking at this passage here, as we look, Abraham was called, and I believe that we were called to start River Valley Bible Church. I believe that each person that was involved in that process was called. Abraham went to a foreign land, and for me, Mesquite was a very foreign land. But it refers to him as an alien, and I mentioned it last week. But it wasn't until 2005 that I finally received my green card to be able to work in the U.S. Before that, I was working on a religious visa. And before that, I was on a student visa, and there was about a 3-week window in there where I just wasn't allowed in the U.S. at all, went through my little deportation incident. Again, we've seen how God worked through all that. So as Abraham was an alien in a foreign land, it wasn't until actually 2015 that I was no longer considered an alien in the U.S. I finally pulled the trigger and got my U.S. citizenship. I can relate a little bit there with Abraham. But as it goes through at the end there, he was looking for something that God built. And that's been our focus all along with River Valley Bible Church, is allowing him to use us, but looking for something that God built. And just remembering that it is God who has done all of the work, and God that has done all of the growth there. It was during that time that I ended up meeting Christy through her brother, and worked out all. It was shortly after I was allowed back in the States, a couple of months later, that then Derek called me up and introduced me to his sister. Both of us had been set up before, and we kind of were like, "Yeah, you know, we'll try. We'll throw it out there. We'll email. We'll see where it goes." But I don't think either of us, really were that excited, thinking it was really going to happen. But Derek was convinced. In that conversation, when he called and said, "Hey, would you be interested in emailing my sister?" By the time our conversation was done, he's like, "And wouldn't it be cool if we were like brother-in-laws?" And I'm like. He had us married off right away. My father-in-law and mother-in-law were on my side the entire time, they kept reminding Christy that you need to talk to him, you need to email him back. If you're going to make this work, you've got to have some communication, and so we were able to work all that out and shortly thereafter get married. But part of that. The reason why that's important in River Valley's history is because, again, with the people. Christy mentioned last week how welcoming the people of River Valley Church, River Valley Bible Church are. And instantly, Christy was welcomed and a part of the church. Friendships and relationships and all of those things were instant and not a problem. And I worried because I was friends with another pastor who was a single pastor, pastored for a lot of years. And then when he got married, when she came to the church, it actually caused a lot of division in the church for a little while, because all of these great little, I don't want to use the wrong words here, older senior ladies that were so used to caring for Pastor Bill, and now all of a sudden he has a wife. And they were the ones that were caring for him and cooking him meals and taking care of him. And all of a sudden, he's like, "Well, I have a wife to help me with that." And it actually caused some conflict in the church. And so I actually talked to him. I knew he had gone through that. And I'm like, "Bill, what can we do differently here?" But River Valley was so welcoming to Christy. And then with our families, it worked out very, very well. It was Christy who and Brooke that began to develop the music ministry. Because if any of you were here, Joan, Shirley, Shara, a few of you that were here before the Christy and Brooke era of music, know that I led music with a karaoke machine. And I'll tell you what, it was bad. And I think we finally recovered from those music days. And what an amazing music we have at River Valley now, as they practice in the morning, and just it's amazing what God has done with our music now. And it started, you know, as Christy came in and the friendships that were developed and the music started growing. It's amazing how God has grown that part of our ministry as well. From day one, we were committed to the teaching of God's word, and that has been our focus and the primary, but all of the extra things God has truly blessed as well. When I started the church, I started it with a theme verse, and this is my last passage here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. A lot of pastors, a lot of people in ministry, and I think a lot of people just in life often have kind of a theme verse, a verse that they can go to in times of encouragement, a passage that can kind of keep them on track and focused. And as I began wandering down here to plant the church in Mesquite, this passage became my theme. 1 Corinthians 3:5-9, and it says, "What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." Like any plant that grows, there's stages of growth. Some stages, things happen a little bit faster. Some things happen a little bit slower in different phases. And I think we see that here in River Valley. We've grown in different stages. There's been some neat things. We've seen some really quick growth numerically. We've seen some great spiritual growth throughout our time here. But like any garden, there needs to be someone that plants and someone that waters. And I am not a waterer, if that's a good word to use. I am a planter. I'm kind of like the movie with the dog that sees the squirrel, in that little Disney movie. And squirrel, I can get sidetracked in life really easy. Something interesting or shiny pops up, and all of a sudden I'm off looking at something different. And that's how I believe that's how God created me. I get doing something, to get excited about something, and it gets going and it takes root, and then all of a sudden there's another shiny thing that pops up, and I get going on that. And God knew that River Valley needed somebody that doesn't get so distracted by the next shiny object. So in 2006, we entered into another phase of River Valley. And I remember when we announced to the church that Christy and I were going to be stepping out as the pastors, pastoring River Valley, and we were going to start looking for someone. We went into that fearful, because often a pastoral change is a dividing point in a ministry, and it can cause a lot of hardship. And so we were trying to be very, very careful about how we were going to go through this process. And as we announced the process, I know that not everybody agreed with how we were going to do things, but there were some really neat things that happened. And as I began pondering who might be a good fit, I was at our elder meeting, and the elders at that point were Tim and Dan up in St. George, because we didn't have the leadership established yet at River Valley. And we were sitting at one of our little meetings, and I told Tim what was going to happen, and he's like, have you thought about Craig Jansen? And again, Craig was just kind of a name that I had seen in passing, and we had visited once in a while here and there. I knew who he was, but knew nothing about him. And he said, Dave, you need to talk to Craig. He's looking for a church, but he has a heart for the camp. And that was a priority for us with starting the camp ministry. We wanted somebody who would love the camp as well as the church and would do that. And so we called Craig. They came, they candidated. We talked about that a little bit last Sunday. And they fell in love with Mesquite and River Valley Bible Church. And I remember another meeting that happened just before Pastor Craig came here, and another, like a milestone in River Valley's history, because I was a missionary. I was supported. I had to go out and do deputation. I had to leave once in a while and keep my support levels up. And the church, it was, I still remember the meeting pretty clear, because the church said, Dave, we do not want a missionary-supported pastor. We want somebody who doesn't leave on deputation. We want somebody and that is here. And I just smiled because I knew how much the church was paying me. And I knew that either the church was going to have to significantly increase the amount of salary coming out, or the pastor was going to have to be missionary supported. And there was three, possibly four men in that meeting that day that all raised their hand and said, Dave, we will make sure that our pastor never has to raise support. And it was amazing, because I think the church was paying me about $700 a month. And I said, okay. And we got the number that we needed for a salary, and the church hasn't missed, I don't think the church has missed a payment, or we may have been late, but I don't think we've missed one. But God was faithful. God raised up some men and families in the church that said, we will make sure, and God is faithful to that, and God has made sure, and God has blessed. And again, Craig's going to go through a lot of that. But there's a part in this passage that in 1 Corinthians here that I never really noticed before. I noticed that it talks about how the waterer and the planter are nothing. It talks about how God causes the growth. And those are all things that have been very important in my life, remembering that God causes the growth, and that the guy who comes in and starts something, the guy who comes in and carries it on, God uses them, but it's because of what God's doing that the growth happens. But in verse 8 here, it's something that jumped out to me that I never realized before, that has been so important in River Valley's history, is it says here, now he who plants and he who waters are one. I think one of the key words that we could use about River Valley Bible Church is unity. Again, there are things that can divide churches. A pastoral change is one that can divide a church. And River Valley went through it. I've had pastors call me and say, Dave, what did you guys do when you did your pastoral change that it was so seamless? And because we want to do the same thing. We need to make sure that we transition the same way. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't, you know, we didn't sit down. Craig and I didn't sit down and plan this perfect strategy out so that the it would be seamless and there would be no division. I believe that it was absolutely God doing it. I believe that it was the humility of Pastor Craig as he came in to take over, that he didn't come in with his fist and say, this is my church now. He just, you know, there were so many little pieces that the change was done, and it was great. There was unity there. When Christy and I were able to come back to the church, our fear was possibly would people recognize me as the pastor instead of Pastor Craig, and we wanted to make sure there was never any division, and there never was. There was never a time where Craig came and said, "Hey, Dave, you might need to be gone for a few more months," and we told him, we absolutely gave Craig permission. We said, if ever there's a moment where it looks like somebody is not following Pastor Craig's leadership, I said, we will leave in a heartbeat. We will do nothing that could cause division in the church. And there never has been. A building project is something else that often can cause division in a church. And I can see why, because I have found through this process, I have some opinions about things that I would really like to have happened a certain way. And I could see how with so many opinions, people would kind of be forceful and say, you know what, this is how it needs to be, or this is what we're going to do. And that's never happened. The one who waters and the one who plants are one. And it's not just Pastor Craig and I, but it's the church, the leadership in the church, the elders in the church, the deacons, the people that are involved in music, the people that help with sound and all of the details, the Sunday school teachers. There's a unity within River Valley that is amazing, and it can only because of God and what He has done, and so it's neat. It's neat how it all works together, and how Pastor Craig has come in and his leadership of the church and where he's brought us. It was neat in 2009, I believe, is when we called our first elder. Instead of having elders from other churches or leadership from other churches helping us, we were able to start having our own leadership at River Valley, and that was exciting. In 2010, we were able to purchase this property. In 2014, we graduated from Tentmakers Bible Mission and finally became a truly independent Bible church. And these are neat little milestones that happen in a church. And then 2014, we also started our building project. I believe it was in November of 2014 when we wrote our first check to pay for something that was specific to building this building. Took a little while. As Pastor Craig kept saying, it's in God's time. It'll happen in God's time. And here we are in God's time. He knew this day was going to happen. He knew from the beginning of time, creation, that this day was going to happen. But in 1960, when a pastor in Idaho went to a church in Michigan, and that man felt a call who then impacted my life, who impacted different lives, and so many lives that were touched in so many different ways along the way that here we are today. We have a beautiful building. God has blessed us so richly with that. But you guys, we are the church. The memories that we have from our old building are still here with us today, and we're going to create new ones here. But it's because of you, it's because of Craig, it's because of me that we have that. We are the church, and it is God who causes the growth. And that's going to continue to be my theme, my theme passage, my theme verses. And if we remember that we need to just step out of the way, step to the side, because it's God who causes the growth, we will do well. We all create a legacy. We started with talking about a legacy. We all will create a legacy. You will impact history in some way. So the question is what kind of legacy will you leave? How will you be remembered? What kind of legacy will River Valley leave? How will River Valley Bible Church impact Mesquite, Nevada? Or Nevada, or Clark County, or the United States, or the world? What are we doing as River Valley Bible Church to leave a legacy? And maybe in 2080 or 2085, there's going to be someone standing at a pulpit saying, because there was a church in Mesquite, Nevada, and the people of that church supported this person, and that person went here, and that person met this person, and those people over here did this, that we have a church, a building, a place to worship. And I just hope and pray and know that one day we will leave a great legacy here in Mesquite. And it's because of you, because of us, it's because of the church. Let me close us in prayer. I promised Craig I wouldn't go long, and here I am. I missed it. Let's close in prayer. Father, again, thank you for letting us leave a legacy. Thank you for history and looking back and remembering all the people and things and places that have impacted this day, today. It doesn't surprise you. It shouldn't surprise us, but we are so thankful and so excited that you have brought us to this moment in this time. Help us to leave a great legacy in Mesquite. As River Valley Bible Church reaches out to Mesquite, help us to be a church that leaves a good legacy, a legacy where people will look at us and it will point to you in a positive way, that they will look at River Valley Bible Church and you will be seen, you will be glorified. Thank you again for our time this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and worship together. We look forward to just singing and worshiping and studying your word in the next service. Just bless our fellowship today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.